QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, which is a good sign right now. Are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty. This evening, we're going to kind of have a, as I call it, a shoot from the hip evening, and just kind of throw a few questions out there, answer a few questions out there, general topics for discussion, and we will have our DX report this evening from Mike. Speaking of Mike, WB6CLZ, are you out there?
Of course. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia, but we're up in Big Bear in spirit. How's everybody? How you doing, Tom?
Up here trying to do like everybody else, keep warm and dry. So, alrighty. Well, it's good to have you out there. Is there anybody else out there would like to check in this evening? Please come back now.
XBCK.
Okay, I have KD6LAN. Bill, glad to have you with us. And KJ6BCK. Adam, I believe, down there in Garden Grove. Anybody else?
KD6RJ.
I got KE6RJ, possibly somebody underneath you there, Harry. Anybody else?
Yes.
Please come back. Didn't copy.
KJ6HCS, Mike. FIL.
KJ6HDS and KJ6FIL, Mike and Mike. Red One's Mike, Gray's Peak Mike. Glad to have both of you with us this evening. Is there anybody else out there?
K6CIA.
Kilo Victor Santa Fe Springs.
Alrighty, I got KA6CIA, George, down there in Lucerne Valley, and somebody at the tail end there. Sorry I didn't catch your call. Please come back.
Yeah, this is Alpha Echo 6, Charlie Kilo, Victor, Santa Fe Springs. How do you copy, over?
Victor, Santa Fe Springs, glad to have you with us this evening, and copy is good. Anybody else out there?
KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK.
KJ6KDK and KJ6KDL. Rosemary and Jim, glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there?
AD6PL.
AD6PL, Harold, glad to have you with us. Anybody else?
AF6IQW, Heather.
Yeah, Heather, come back with a call sign, please, one more time.
KF6IQW.
Alrighty, I got you in there. Anybody else?
I6SKN.
Hey, I6SKN, Chris, glad to have you with us this evening. Is there anybody else?
EZ.
Boy, somebody was whispering out there, could barely hear him. That sounded like Ray. Is that you out there, Ray, WB6PBZ?
Yep, that's me.
Hey, Ray, glad to have you out there. And I didn't know you were up here on the mountain. Anybody else out there?
6 LEF John Redlands.
KJ6 LEF John, thanks for the reports you've been giving us from the scanner there lately. I appreciate that. Anybody else out there? All right, by golly. Anybody else want to check in later on, feel free to do so. Yeah, we're going to talk a couple of real simple things tonight. Nothing real too tough. Mike, real quick, you want to tell us about our DX report, what's been happening out there, and what you've been doing on 160 lately? Sounds like you've been having a lot of fun and helping some students back out there. Was it in Montana, I think? WB6CLZ, turning it over to you, KF6Q.
Okay, Tom, real quick, I've got some QRM here down on this end. Am I making it to the machine okay?
Roger that. Like I said, I'll loan you a good machine if you need one down there. Hi. All righty. No, you're coming through fine.
Hey, well, not much of a DX report to talk about. Sunspots are zero and have been for several days. But before that, we were in the 30s and 40s and up to 50 sunspots, and I was working South America, Northeast Russia, and as always, Alaska and Hawaii. So up until very recently, it's been decent, not great, but decent. I generally have marginal antennas, so decent is great for me. Anyway, let's talk about what we've been doing down here at our QTH and Placentia. Basically, the two antennas we've been using is we've got a 266-foot loop for 75 meters and a 75-meter dipole reset. So anyway, we've been working a little bit of 160. There's a gentleman, 13-year-old gentleman that in Utah that has been doing a science fair experiment, and some of the guys up there, Lanny, W6AT, and Bob, K6BT, and myself, have been kind of helping him along with some other people throughout the country doing a radio test. He has been... He's got an inverted L antenna, which is 60 feet up and 70 foot out, and has been doing some radial tests. He has four tests. He starts with 16 radials, then goes to 8, then 4, and to 0, and in random orders. And then we give him signal reports. It's been kind of cool. And I usually get him about a 5.7 to 5.9, and with the antennas that I've been using down here, he somewhere catches me somewhere between an S3 and an S7 reset. Anyway, and so basically what we're using down here for 160 meters is we've got the 266-foot loop. We're tying the ladder line together and shorting it out at the base, and feeding that against the ground. But I've added to my ground. I have several ground rods, one for my house ground and one for the photovoltaic system. But I'm grounding also against my, I've got 20 150-watt photovoltaic panels up here on the back patio, and a chain link fence and the two ground rods, and that seems to get me favorable signals on 160. So that's just a quickie. Tom, and if you have any questions or anything else you want me to put out there, let me know. It's WB6CLZ.
Yeah, Mike, it sounds like you've got a pretty cool setup down there to experiment with that, and sounds like you're reaching him. Where is this, where is he at that you're trying to get back to?
He is in Lehi, Utah. I think it's 20, 30 miles south of Salt Lake City.
All right, roger that. And when you say you're tying the twin lead together, basically what you mean is you're shorting the two together and using them as one wire, and that's fed by your center wire coming off your radio, correct?
Oh, yeah, roger that. And then we've got that into an MFJ VersaTuner, and we're tuning that down so the radio will accept that.
Okay, roger that. Don't want anybody out there experimenting tying the two leads together right outside their radio. That's not recommended and highly dangerous to your radio. So, well, that's fantastic. Now, he changes the radios all in the same night, but you're doing this in multiple nights. And what's the reasoning behind that?
It gives him numerous data points. He's got on the average of 3 to 4 operators receiving for him. And I think he's on night 20 last night, although conditions were terrible last night, so we were not copying him at all. But I think he's done 20 nights in a row, so he has enough data points to where he can average that out and compile all the data and then get some pretty good information.
Okay, Roger, that's this way, no matter what the propagation is, because that changes from day to day, actually changes during the day, but this way, sounds like he's doing it about the same time of day each day also?
Roger, about 8:30 his time, 7:30 here, and about the same time. We even have variances in QSB. Signal varies up and down on 160, so even that is a variance, and that's why the more data points, the better data that he will be collecting.
Okay, Roger that. And that kind of, like you said, that spreads out over quite a few days so he can get a good average and kind of isolate his changes or, you know, so he gets a good idea of what it is. Otherwise, one test wouldn't do that. QSB. For the people out there that don't know the Q codes, what does that mean?
Well, that is when your signal goes up and down, you know, like you're hearing me now, just perfectly. If we were on HF and on one of the high frequency bands, I might go down to where I completely fade out. But if you keep listening, I'll pick up again, and we call that QSB.
Hey, Roger, that is one of many of the Q codes. Well, that's fantastic. And I think we talked about that fade in and out is basically due to reflections and propagation and reflections of the off the ionosphere and all or none of the above. All right, well, that's pretty neat. So are you still doing this, or is he done, or how much longer is he going to be doing that?
Yes, he's taking a little bit of vacation, and then after Christmas on the 27th, he's going to email us or contact us on 1.933 is the frequency we've been using. And he will determine if he needs more data points or if he's got enough data collected.
And fantastic. Now, I know that you do from time to time, or most of the time, keep track of sunspots. Do you know if he's actually keeping a log of that also? Not that you couldn't go back. I think there's records of that. You probably go back quite a ways. But do you know if he's actually logging that down too?
I'm really not sure of what other information other than, you know, than the signal reports. That's the only part I'm involved in. Although Cindy and I have talked about when he has his science fair project, we would like to maybe take a quick vacation out there and see that, go to the school and see how he's got it all presented and everything. And definitely I will request that on an email if he cares to send it to me. But, yeah, that's information I really don't have at this time.
Okay, Roger that. And you say he's 13 years old, and obviously on the 160 band, he's a general class. Is that correct?
I think he's a general. I don't think he's an extra, but he may be. Yeah, that's when I started out in ham radio. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like looking back, and even though I was not that scientifically minded at the time, you know, it kind of puts a smile on my face and reminds me of the olden days. Hi.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, all right. Well, that's a pretty neat experiment. Pretty neat to be participating in that. And as there are a few things with radio, there is a few things that are an exact science. But experimenting with antennas, and there's still new frontiers out there, is always, you know, some of the unknowns, and shooting from the hip is pretty cool. All right. So your antenna worked, and then you made some modifications to get it to work better. Well, that's fantastic. This evening, we're going to kind of just throw it around the block here a little bit with some topics. And And I do believe we had a couple things there. We had KJ6HZS. Would you like to share with us just how messed up a radio can get by hitting a couple of buttons real quick?
All right, yeah, I'll take one for the team here. This KJ6HCS name is Mike. Last night, trying to program, I got a Yasu FT60, little HT, and I was just simple things. I was actually reading the instructions, and I guess my fingers weren't corresponding to the keyboard, but I ended up activating, it's called the Internet Connection feature is active, is what the book says. If you look at it, looks like a little nuclear symbol, a little atomic symbol on the very top right of my keypad or in a display. And oh boy, that threw the whole radio into just it went kaplooey. And now it's telling me something else. I can't remember what it was saying in the display thing. Well, I go into a full-on panic mode. I've shut it on. I shut it off. I hit the FW button, the bottom right button, and, you know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And thankfully, Kelly, KI6IQA, comes on in, and he put the fire out for me and told me how to sort of get out of the mode, but I'll be doggone if I can figure out why that radio wanted to do that. So me and the hammer are sitting next to this radio right now, and if it tries it again, we'll motivate it accordingly. Back to you, Tom.
Please don't hit your radio with a hammer. That's not the way to program those. But I know a lot of people out there have the FT60, and I'd say probably one of the cool features of this, if you press the F key, bottom right corner, and then the number 6 says lock, and if you do that, a little padlock will show up there on the left side, and it kind of locks the keyboard, which sometimes is a good thing. It keeps you from bumping off frequency and doing a couple other things. But also, right there at the 0 is the little atomic symbol. And if your keyboard's not locked, you can actually toggle that little feature on and off. You push it once, it's on. You push it again, it's off, and it'll repeat over and over. And if your volume's turned up, it kind of makes a little toodle sound up if it's coming on and off if it's going down or something like that. Anyway, the biggest thing about that is it's what they call the wires feature. It's an internet type of protocol, and I really don't know if anybody's even using it anymore. And unfortunately, to disable that feature, it becomes pretty complex, but not with a hammer mic. Please. Mike, WB6CLZ, anything to add to that?
That's exactly what I was about to say. I know my little handy-talky, I always have that keyboard locked out unless I'm changing something. It's just easier that way. Hey, and Tom, also, maybe we should drag our feet just a second, just in case we've got rock slides or something like that. I just thought of that.
So don't jump in so quick. Yes, that's, we'll leave a little extra space there. I think right now, as we know, there's a lot of different things happening out there with the weather, but still want to carry on this evening. Like all radios, because they do so many doggone things anymore, there's just not enough room for all the knobs and dials and bells and whistles to be done with, so they bury things in menus, and unfortunately, they don't bury them in a logical order like we're used to looking at, or sequences, and that's my complaint, but that's just my opinion, and I think it really confuses a lot of people out there. So anyway, look forward to when the website's up, we're going to actually have pictures with arrows showing different buttons and what to do, and by golly, try to simplify it for everybody out there. So we'll solve those problems. So Mike, Hulu Zulu, don't use the hammer yet. Was there anything else that you'd like to just talk about with your radio real quick besides that you saved its life temporarily?
There's nothing that duct tape can't fix. This little radio, there's so many features, and as being a novice as I am in this activity of ham operating, it's a great radio, and I ain't even scratched the surface yet on the capabilities of the radio, you know. Obviously, I should have got one of the more, retarded radios. This is a great radio, so I'm not downplaying it. It's definitely operator error, and there's so much that this thing can do, and I'm sure that's the same with all the other radios. I don't know what's going to happen once I upgrade my license status. It'll be a nightmare for sure. Back to you, Tom.
Leaving a little space there. You know, I'll tell you about that radio and most of them out there. The FT60, for everybody out there listening, it's a good dual bander. It's actually the most popular seller for HTs in the United States, across the country. It does many more things than just dual band. We know it does a 2-meter band and a 440 band, but it will receive all kinds of other frequencies and bands. I don't know how low it goes. I think it actually goes down into the FM broadcast band. There's also an area there of weather. I think there's 5 or 6 weather channels it'll tune into, and it has the ability to scan any of these frequencies or groups or pairs or automatically go to bypass some. So it has a huge amount of features, as do many of the radios out there. Whether you use them or not, that's up to the individual and trying to figure out, of course, how to get it to work for you. But in the meantime, right now we're just using our stuff here for 2-meter, and it's something, Mike, you have to build on. Don't blame yourself or the radio. They're very complicated when it gets into the programming like that, and I've seen very few people who can just walk right up and master the book, because the book itself is confusing. So, Mike, WB6CLZ, anything to add?
I shadow exactly what you say, Tom. Yeah, I've been playing this game a long time, and like I was telling Tom earlier tonight, I'm a knob and switch type of guy, and changing over to these multi-menu type radios is a little difficult for this old guy. But yeah, you just take it one step at a time, and it comes to you, and once you learn it, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, Roger that. I don't know how many times you fell off your bicycle, but I fell a few. Anyway, and another thing, too, I guess it'd be a good little quick topic there. This evening, as we have all this weather, a lot of weather, by the way, I've got a bone to pick with KJ6KDL. He told me this was going to be a dry winter. Jim, what's going on? Anyway, seems to be pretty wet so far. A lot of flooding. I mean, there's streets closed in our neighborhood down the hill, literally just flooded underwater. So, but at times like this, we have conditions out there on the highway, and it's great. I think KJ6FIL and KJ6LEF John and you, Mike, have all been kind of keeping us abreast of that stuff and doing it the legit way of contacting each other, because we don't want to just get out there and say, hey, everybody, guess what? So keeping our T's crossed and I's dotted. Mike, WB6CLZ, anything to add about weather conditions?
Boy, I could go on and on. My favorite site to actually see what's going on, that would be intellicast.com. That's my favorite one, and you can put that online, and you can exactly see what's coming in, see what's hitting you. And I could go on about weather, but I think that's the most important thing. And then naturally, we've got Ben's weather up there, and he's pretty good.
But, you know, like I'm not doing it because it's a bad habit, but when you're talking on the repeater, always leave a little bit of space in case somebody's on the road and needs to get in an emergency situation. A lot of times their cell phones don't work in certain areas, but 2 meters will. I think that's about it. This is WB6CLZ, Placentia.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom, Mike. KD6IJ, Sugarloaf. The one that I have been frequently accessing is, instead of listening to a scanner, is the website by Craig. I forgot what it's called at this very moment. Craig, BC, well, anyway, BCM, yeah. That's the Big Bear scanner and website. And up to date, people are putting in stuff that they're listening on the scanner and telling about the incidents. That is very helpful to see what's going on. Back to you, Tom, KF6Q, and Tech Tuesday, KE6RJ.
Thanks, Harry. Yeah, Craig, KJ6BCM, with his website, excellent scanner, live scanner going on there, which is good for people like me, as I don't have a scanner, so I can kind of listen in through the internet. However, there's a lot of people out there listening. I think Mike FIL and Mike HZS don't have internet access at this point in time, It's good for other people out there who do. I know I can check traffic.com, sigalert.com. Essentially, they have excellent reports on road closures. Caltrans, excellent. Type in the 330 or 38 or 18, and you'll get a report on road closures and on chain requirements. So sometimes it's good for somebody out there who's got internet service to help somebody who does not. But yeah, that's a good thing out there. And like I said, LEF John got a scanner going there and actually kept us abreast. Real quick there, KJ6LEF, did you get any more updates on Lytle Creek? I hear, well, I'm going to tell you what's coming weather-wise our way. It's not nice. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, KJ6LEF, good evening to Mike, and I forgot your name. Thank you for welcoming me to the group here and this meeting. We know right now that Lytle Creek is devastated, and we saw that on the news. And what's forthcoming tonight, it may add to that even worse. We hope and pray that it won't happen. There's people stranded and have loved ones up there and down here. But East Street up there around Little Mountain is shut down due to landslides and rocks. And right now I'm listening to the CHP frequency radio here I got, and there's still fender benders out there, and the rain's still coming down. So it's my pleasure to keep everybody up there updated what's going on. I try to do my best. It's kind of Vietnam-related with me. You know, I'm 100% PTSD, so I know how important a radio is. Keep everyone knowledgeable of what's going on around the area. Pardon for my lacking in my words. Usually I have a little problem trying to get my words together upstairs. But anyway, I met a lot of good radio operators out there, good friends, and I'm just blown away. Anyway, I'll go ahead and back out, and I'll be listening. KG6LEF.
Alrighty, thanks, John. Appreciate that. From what I understand, and it is really starting to rain pretty heavy, headed our way, another storm or group of storms, from what I understand, is going to hit up here. Possible some deep snow, so everybody out there, if you're up here in the mountains in the Big Bear area, be prepared for some snow. And not 4 feet, it's very possible it could get a foot to 2 feet. And over the next couple of days. So there you go. If it doesn't happen, that's great. So, but anyway, yeah. How's it been down there, KA6CIA George? Kind of glad to hear you on the radio this night tonight. And the other night we had a blink up here that hit what, the whole Big Bear Valley and you all at the same time. My gosh, that's got to be a main feed line for it to do that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be right. I'm sure it was a main feed line between Victorville and Big Bear, which is an Edison line, but it's, the power is bought somewhere else and transmitted over that line. But evidently it got a good bump on it. It could have been a tree limb. It could have been the wind. It could have been an accident, something. But there is a, like a circuit breaker, a reclosure, actually. And during the winter time, they have them up there. It'll reclose three times to try it in case the system has cleared itself. After three times, it goes out to lock out, and then it has to be patrolled. So when you see it go to three, well, you know it's going to be a while before it comes back on.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, I know that. I consider us fortunate so far. I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying this, that up here in the Big Bear Valley, I think everybody was up here last year when we had high winds. We had some very serious power outages, and I know there's been trees dropping all over the valley here, actually all over Southern California, for that matter, which is just playing havoc with the power lines. So we have been very fortunate so far not to lose power up here in Sugarloaf. And it's been pretty good. So, anyway, KI6SKN, can you give me a Bear City temperature report? Back to you, Chris, KF6Q.
Okay, yes, it's 38 and a half degrees, pretty warm. Thought it'd be cooling off by now, down a little bit more than that. We were supposed to be having snow by now, but it's still rain, and that's okay. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, I think we were around 36, 35. Not too far off from that, being up a little higher. Ray, WB6PBZ, over there in Shea Meadows. Are you still out there, and do you have a temperature report for us over there?
DBZ here. Yeah, it's 36.7 here at my place, and the wind, the most I've had is 2 miles an hour, so it's been pretty calm. Back to you, Tom, KF62 to DBZ.
Okay, appreciate that. So there's a couple of the temperatures around the valley. KD6LAN, Bill, you're at the west end down there, if you're still out there. I know sometimes the weather hits you first as it's coming through the canyon there. Anything exciting, getting any snow yet, or is it still rain, or what's going on over there, Bill?
Yeah, KD6LAN here. It hasn't stopped all day. It's more rain than snow, but I imagine as the temp drops tonight, it'll turn to snow again.
Roger that. Victor, or if you're still out there or down there in Santa Fe Springs, you're pretty close. Well, you're not too far from the coast, a lot closer than us. Anything happening coming off the coast? Any new rain coming in? If you're still out there, Victor, please come back. I think we lost him out there. Well, anyway, yeah, as we were getting back to this evening, like I say, we're just going to do a couple of little shot from the hips there type things, and we'll take just a real quick break. I'm going to send it back to Mike here in a second. Anybody out there who's got any questions over any of the topics we've ever talked about, and we have talked about just about everything under the sun, or anything that you would like to know about? As we've got all these gurus on this evening, I think there's somebody out there who could answer your questions. Just jump right in there. I'll leave a little break. KF6Q.
WS6VO. CS.
Adrian.
All righty, I got W6VO, Brad. By golly, that's unusual to hear you. And any questions or anything, go ahead. And then I think we had Harry and ZS out there, ACS Mike. First to Brad, W6VO. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. We just made it up here. We drove up the back way, obviously, and only took 4+ hours for a 3+ hour drive, and we're safe and sound here, and we're ready to have the snow, so let's turn on the snow machine. And Tom, great to hear you out there and running what appears to be a net. And Ray, I heard you out there, PBZ. Good evening to you. It's raining here in Moon Ridge up at the upper level, and I don't know when the snow's supposed to kick in. You know, looking at the weather reports, we were supposed to have snow all day, so go figure. Back to you, Tom. KF6Q, W6BO.
What's the temperature running up there, guys?
Right now, this is KF6Q in Sugarloaf. We've anywhere from 35, 36 degrees to 38 in Bear City. Please come back. All right. Anyway, Brad, thanks for that. And then HZS, did you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, copy that. Thanks a lot, Tom. Earlier at the beginning of our discussion this evening, when you and Mike were talking about QSB, my pops, he was heavily into CW when he was into the ham thing. And the little tricks that he's been teaching me about the Q code is, like QSB, what that meant was signal bounce, either up or down. So if you could remember it that way or try to think of stuff like that, the Q code is actually simple. But QSB, he gave me that little insight as a signal bounce, either up or down. Back to you guys.
Oh, roger that. let's see, QRM and QRN, which is interference. M, I used to remember that by man-made, and N being by nature. So kind of did borrow from your dad's idea there, too, a little bit. And I think there's a few that, you know, are pretty easy to remember that way. So very good point there, Mike. Appreciate that. Harry, did you have a question? I think you were in there in that group. So if you were, please come back. KF6Q.
Thank you, Tom. KE6IJ here. Sugarloaf, 34 degrees. No rain at this moment. But wait a minute. question. Yes. In the market for, or rather, on my wish list is a 75 meter antenna, and of course, ideally would be a rotatable beam or a quad. I don't have that real estate. I have a 100 foot lot deep, and I'm already into my neighbors with my. The Carolina Wyndham with a long leg has a short and a long leg for Carolina Wyndham. And by the way, at this time it's sick and needing work. Okay, back to you, Tom, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday moderator, KE6RJ.
Yeah, go ahead there, Chris, if that is you jumping in there, is KF6Q here. Yeah, Chris, I think you and I both have the answer for him. Go ahead, Chris.
Zen KI6SKN?
Yeah, were you breaking in there, or was that somebody else?
Somebody else.
Tom, WB6CLZ.
Oh, okay. Say your call sign. I couldn't have enough of your voice to hear you. Go ahead, Mike.
About that. Okay, yeah, I think Chris is going to say the same thing that you're going to say, the same thing that I'm going to say. Well, Harry, you have a, or you had a G5RV antenna. I know you have it or had it. All we do is shorten that up to like 90 feet, and then you have a ZS6BKW, which will tune up very nicely on 75 meters. Is that what you were thinking, Tom?
Yeah, roger that, because his lot size and where he's at, the ZS6 90-footer, especially inverted V format there, it would work perfect for Harry. And Harry, not only will it fit, it'll blow the doors off your Carolina Wyndham, sorry to say, but it's going to work a lot better. You'll get better signal reports all over the place, so... but you know what, Harry, with this kind of weather, it's not time to put up antennas right now. But when it clears up, that would be the thing to go with there. So we'll keep you in mind. Just remind us. Real quick, back to you, Harry.
Thank you, Tom. The one that Mike helped me, or we did together, or Mike did for me, the shortened the... meet the ZS6BKW. I loaned it out, and I don't expect it back till next summer. Field day. I gave it away. So I got to make another one. And maybe Mike, you can help me again. And thanks for the input. I look forward to a better signal, but I already had a pretty good signal, especially with the amp. Of course, it made a big difference, and I'm heard all over the West Coast here with that kind of Wyndham, but I'd like to have a spare, and that would do it. Maybe it would be even better, and I have two antenna inputs here on that TS2000, so I could be easily switching from one to the other. Okay, thank you, Tom. KF6Q, K6IJ.
Okay, Harry, yeah, just like we've said before here on Tech Tuesday, the gentleman I knew, the ham, was very happy with his rig and his antenna, and he was talking to everybody in the West Coast, and then we got him a good antenna, and he was very happy because he was talking to everybody on the West Coast of Europe. That's the difference. So, anyway, and only on 100 watts. I think that sounds like a couple people out there with the right antenna. All of a sudden, you're going to get good signal reports. They're just going to be another 3,000-4,000 miles away. So, all righty. Well, real quick, as we go back in here, anybody else with any questions or little quick topics to throw out there this evening? Is kind of a shot from the hip Tech Tuesday. Please come back.
Troy Carmen, one more.
Go ahead, Harry. KE6RJ, KF6Q.
That Carolina Wyndham has worked fabulous, fantastic. Mornings, when it was still up until a few days ago, talk every morning, East Coast, get a single report, 5957, and actually all over the country, but that's on 20 meters, that's not 75 meters. Okay, back to you, Tom.
Okay, roger that. Well, just real quick, while we're there, and we're not picking on Carolina Wyndhams, even though I love to do that. Mike, WB6CLZ, just real quick, not on 20, but on 80 meters, how far have you been talking? That's really a little bit more difficult, I believe. Where have you been talking with that? Let's see. Let's start with real quick, ZS6, and then on your loop. WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
I'm going to get a black mark on this one. I don't do a lot of DXing on 75 meters, so really I can't answer that the way you would like me to. But I will tell you that when I check into
to Harry's net, no matter where I'm at on the Western Public Service net, and when I check into the county ECS net, I'm always given very, very, very good signal reports. Circuit merit 5, which is as high as you can get on the ECS net, and you can ask Harry when I'm down here. I always have really good signals, so they do work. And real quick, I'm going to backpedal just a little bit. That weather net that we were talking about up there is that's SoCalMountains.com, which has got a lot of information, and you can access that through Ben's weather. Okay, back to you, Tom. It's WB6CLZ. Question.
Alrighty, KF6Q here. Go ahead, question.
This is K6VHM Frank in Woodcrest. I was just wondering what kind of an antenna he's comparing to the Wyndham there. The other fellow, I didn't catch the call, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mike, I think that's referred to you. I mean, and one quick point thing here is that the Carolina Wyndham is a combination horizontal and vertical antenna split basically over two bands in one. So it's a good multi-bander. There's just a lot of different antennas. But anyway, Mike, I think that was directed to you with your loop and your dipole.
Well, we weren't really talking about the loop or the dipole, both of which I have. Actually, a 75-meter loop that is, well, right now it is about 430 feet up there at Big Bear. We're adding 90 feet to that. That's the best antenna I've got, other than maybe my beam that I play around with down the hill. Now, we were talking about, and you might want to look this up on the internet, it's a ZS6BKW. Our friend Chris SKN calls it a Burger King Whopper. Very, very nice antenna. That is an optimized version of the old standby, the G5RV. I've used a lot of antennas, and for a 90-foot antenna, the thing works fantastic. I've worked more DX than I've been a ham for 47 years now, and with that antenna, I've worked more DX than I ever have. So, yeah, that's the antenna I was talking about. Oh, and this is WB6CLZ. The name is Mike.
Okay, Mike, that was Zulu King Sierra Burger King Whopper, correct?
Negative, that's a ZS Zulu Sierra 6, ZS6 BKW.
Okay, copy that. Thank you. This is K6VHM, Frank and Woodcrest.
Comment.
Okay, Frank, glad to have you with us there. 86PL, Harold, go ahead.
There's even a drawing on the internet of exactly how to build that thing. I was just going to let you know that about an hour ago I listened to National Weather to get what is going to happen to us down here in the valley. About 4 o'clock in the morning there's supposed to be violent weather. I heard this afternoon on the radio that for the mountains they're forecasting up to 60 mile an hour winds. There's a cold front out of Alaska moving down to hook up with this warm air coming out of Hawaii, so they're forecasting tornadoes for down here, possibly thunderstorms, extremely violent weather, and extremely heavy downpour of rain from at least 4 o'clock, maybe before, but no later than 4 o'clock in the morning till 10, till noon, till tomorrow, somewhere in that area. And they said it'll be possibly we'll get as much rain in that little period as we've had in the 4 days so far. So that'll give you an idea of what's coming up the hill there. And I get that off of my little ham radio here. It's on 162.500.
86
feel. Comment? Okay, thanks, Harold. Go ahead, comment.
Thank you, Tom. This is KJ6BCK down in Garden Grove. I just wanted to let you know that down here it's kind of relatively calm. It's been pouring for the past few days, but of course, when we get sandbags, it stops pouring. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's been pretty wild down here. It may get pretty bad rain, but earlier the moon was out. But also, like, another comment, there's actually a phone number, a 1-800 number that you can call to get the road conditions on 38 or 18 or 330. I forget exactly what it was, but I think you can get it from probably the probably Caltrans website, I think.
Okay, Adam, appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's got a little break in this storm, but from what I understand and what Harold's seen, this is the calm before the storm. And I'm not sure at what elevation, but I think part of that will change into snow up here. I do believe this is at least 1 or 2 feet, hopefully no more than that. And we'll just have to see what happens. But, yeah, I think Caltrans has an 800 number, and that's pretty good, too, if you don't have Internet access. Sometimes the Internet goes down as the power goes down. All righty. Anyway, anybody else out there with any questions or topics here this evening? Boy, we got a lot of stuff going on here, so please come back.
I've got that number.
Want to go ahead and give that out to everybody?
Roger that. Caltrans road condition number is 1-800-ROAD. That's 1-800, I believe it's 7623, 1-800-ROAD. And then you just, it's verbal, or you can push the dial. You just say Highway 38, and they'll give it to you, or Highway 18, and they'll give it to you. And I use that all the time. It's pretty good. Back to you. It's WB6CLZ.
Mike, that's 1-800-ROAD. Don't we have a couple more numbers there, or is that supposed to be the highway?
It's 1-800-ROAD. That's what I've always called. 1-800-ROAD, and then they'll just ask you for your highway.
Alrighty. Well, I'll check that out just to make sure. Sometimes if you don't dial enough digits, they tend not to go through. So anyway, not knocking your number there, Mike, but seems to be short a couple of digits. So anyway, anybody else out there with any comments or questions and any suggestions for the upcoming year for Tech Tuesday, please come back.
Comment.
Ooh, I got three comments. I think one was Harry. I heard Ray out there, and I don't know if that was Harry back in there again or somebody else. So let's go real quick with Harry. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. KE6RZ and that Caltrans number I found to be lagging in time. In other words, things have changed, and an hour or 2 or 3 hours later, they change their recording. My experience, I'm not happy with that number. KE6RZ.
Alrighty, thanks for the comment. And Ray, WB6PBZ, go ahead.
This is WB6PBZ. The number is 1-800-427-7623. That's the number exactly.
Okay, Ray, you want to give us that one more time, just for everybody who wasn't ready for it. Go ahead.
All right, it's 1-800-427-7623. That's the Caltrans road number. I've had good luck with it, Harry. I know some people don't, some people do, but it was good today at least. The V6PBZ.
Yep, there are three more numbers. Sorry about that, guys.
Mike, you've always been a few digits short of a full number. Oh, wait a minute. That's not nice. Sorry about that. Anyway, was there somebody else out there, or was that Harry Trice? Or if not, please, anybody else out there with any comments or suggestions for this upcoming year as we're getting close to 8 o'clock hour? But that's okay. I rented the repeater for extra time tonight, so please come back.
KJ6KDL.
KJ6KDL, Jim, how you doing? Go ahead.
Well, since you quoted me, I better apologize to everyone for repeating the National Weather Service gentleman on ABC News back in September saying this was going to be a very cold and dry and fire-ridden winter for us on the Pacific side of the United States. Amazingly, if you look at a couple of sites, one of them is Weather Underground, wunderground.com/MAR. Australia has been hit with that big hot water mass they said was not going to develop for us, and they have been flooded out and snowed on so far this last week as well, and that's where we're getting our moistures, all the way from Australia. So go figure. We're set up for La Nina, and they say we've got a pineapple express. So everybody hold on. And Tom, if you got the need for it, I charged up all five of my 7-amp 12-volt batteries, so we should be able to stay on the air for a few days. KJ6KDL.
Question?
Hey, Roger that, Jim. Appreciate that. Go. Yeah, question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. This is KJ6BCK again. I've heard that term, Pineapple Express, before, but I don't remember, I don't even know what it references or what it means, because one of the people at my church just said that. I'm like, isn't that like a movie?
Pineapple Express, and I will just give you a brief description, and if that's not adequate, anybody else feel free to jump in. I'm not an expert at weather. Essentially, though, Adam, what that is, it's a storm or cloud group or whatever that comes essentially from the Pacific due west, as a lot of our storms come from the north and will usually bring us cold weather with it and snow. Coming from the tropics tends to be warm air right now, as where it could be 38 degrees here and raining without that condition coming from the west and the tropics. And further below, actually, Hawaii, what will happen is that it will turn into rain, and if it didn't have that, what happens, though, is if that Pineapple Express, as they call it, meets a cold front coming down from the north, has anybody out there seen that? Was it called The Day After? Was that? Anyway, that was a movie, and that was all fiction. Does that answer your question? If anybody else can add to that, please come back.
Hawaiian Pineapple.
Also that movie's called The Day After Tomorrow, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Thanks, Tom, and this is KJ6BCK.
That's what's supposed to happen in the morning. That cold front's coming down out of Alaska to hit this Hawaiian Express coming across there. And for the weather department to forecast tornadoes for Orange County and L.A. County is a little unusual. I haven't heard that one before, but that's what they're doing this afternoon. AD6PL.
Well,
it could be. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, the Pineapple Express, I believe that came from back many years ago, or they still do. But pineapples come from Hawaii. They used to harvest a lot of pineapples, and that's just kind of how it happened. Hawaiian and the Pineapple Express thing, that's what I heard. Something I'm really concerned about, hearing about all these winds coming up with the ground being as saturated as it is, we're probably going to have more power outages, very good chance, possibly real long ones. If you got any batteries you need to charge up, everybody charge them up. That goes for down below as well as up here. You just don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully it won't be too bad. We won't have too many more trees going through houses. KI6SKN.
Comment?
Yeah, very good point there, Chris. Thanks for that. Another good reminder of common sense there of batteries. Go ahead, comment.
Always for everybody that's listening to make sure your flashlights are available, your candles, and your batteries are charged up like that gentleman said there out there. Because we don't know what's going to happen during the night or tomorrow. And it's also good to internet and get closer with our ham friends out here so we can
pass emergency traffic when things do happen there. KG6LF, I'll be back out and be listening.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I think I doubled with you a little bit there, John, but I think everybody heard what you had to say there. That's a good deal there. So, all righty, well, get our batteries charged up, get ready for that. Anyway, anybody else out there with some radio topics? I'm just not liking hearing all this about the weather. But it's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's the way it is. I don't think we're going to be able to change it. So everybody try to be prepared. Any other radio topics out there? Let's talk about some happy radio stuff.
KJ6KDL.
Oh, man.
Okay, Jim, 1 second. I had a comment just at the tail end there. Go ahead, comment.
This is Mike, WB6CLZ. And I was just going to say, also another thing is if we get lightning, which they're predicting, kind of disconnect your lead-ins from your outside antennas, drop your towers down if you have them, and that's always a good thing to do. As soon as I get off here, mine's coming down.
Okay, roger that. I don't know if that lightning would be happening up here, but I guess it could. Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Happy radio stuff. Those of you who are ARL members, I just got my January QST magazine in today. Topics are do-it-yourself projects, called So Many Projects, So Little Time. Interesting stuff. How to do a no-dip LC dip meter to check out your coils to find out what they're rated with your oscilloscope and your generator. And a couple other little topics. One of them is Tom, you might be interested in this. On page 39, if you got your book, somebody built a microprocessor SWR power meter that looks really interesting. If I had the brains to build this, I used to.
Yeah, there's a lot of, that's probably, is that PIC-based, I imagine, and I think I have that issue here somewhere. Pretty neat stuff there. Yeah, there's a lot of good do-it-yourself stuff out there, and I think the ARRL is actually getting in behind that a little bit better now than they used to be. I'm not going to say that they never used to be, but we're seeing a lot more of it show up in the more recent issues. There seemed like there was a little lag time there where people were just not building stuff, so... But anyway, that's good stuff. Mike said, yeah, do your preps for lightning. Don't know if it's going to hit up here. It certainly could, but, it doesn't hurt to disconnect some stuff, especially you don't want to be woke up with a fried radio at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's for sure. So anyway, anybody else out there, any cheery, happy, sunny radio topics, please come back.
W6AWL.
All right, we'll let Art go, and I might have been somebody underneath him there. Please stand by. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, I didn't hear him under there, but I've been listening to you since you started. Great Tech Tuesday. You're doing a great job there, Tom. And I just got alerted that the EOC is on activation 1 throughout the night. That doesn't put us into any standby modes, but pay attention to what's happening on the radio, and if I get any more information, I will certainly pass it on.
Okay, Art, appreciate that information, and for anybody out there who does not know, W6AWL Art Langer is the head guy up here with ECS and CERT. And Art, I know you're off the mountain right now, but you're in close contact with everything going on. So appreciate that. And also appreciate the compliments. We're just trying to keep everybody alert out there. Had a lot of people over the last couple of days participating, helping each other with road conditions and what was going on. So, and I think we have more of it to come. So if we can, you can always work out of mobiles and backup power. But if you can, try to keep your 2 meter up and running, everybody out there, so we'll keep everything going. Thanks, Art.
Yeah, now's the time more than any to keep your radio on, keep it on longer, pay attention to it. If something comes up, we'll give you a holler. Tom, thanks for doing what you're doing and getting out there and educating everybody, and appreciate getting in there. I heard you from the beginning. Just sit back and listen. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. So anything else I've got coming up, I'll give you a holler. Appreciate it. Good evening to all. W6AWO.
Okay, Art, thanks. I did believe we did have somebody else in the comment there close by. Go ahead.
KJ6HCS.
Grace Peak Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, I want to say thanks to you and Mike tonight. Very enlightening and very informative, like always. Sorry, I was multitasking. I had one of them family people give me a call on the landline, so I had one ear in that phone and trying to listen to what you're saying, so I finally hung up on him, and I sure hope I didn't miss too much on what you were saying. This is KJ6HCS saying thanks for this evening.
KJ6HCS, Mike, just to reiterate slightly, have had quite a few reports of some extreme weather hitting us early tomorrow morning, and just be prepared as always. Try to keep your 2-meter on, at least on standby. Could be a lot happening, so it's going to be kind of rough riding here in the next 24 hours. Possibly even more. I've heard other reports that it's not going to be done by noon tomorrow. It might be another wave after that, so we'll have to see what happens. We just have to take it. That's all there is to it. So, and that's what ham radio is all about. We're out there to help each other and to keep communication open and hopefully help avert other problems. Alrighty, anybody else out there or good suggestions for next year or questions about what we did this year, please come back to KF6Q.
Question?
Go ahead, question.
Yeah, I know I've been kind of just wrapping up the questions here, but this is KJ6BCK again. Actually, I was going to ask, because for some reason, my signal seems to be rather clear tonight. How does weather, like, affect the signal of a radio? Because I know you probably less of you know the answer to this, but I'd just like to know how, like, rain or snow, or how does it affect the signal?
Okay, Adam. Well, a good example was last night on the ECS net. We had Art and Mike both off the mountain, not that far away, and they would come in strong, and then all of a sudden I'd hear them over the noise, but at the noise level. And what happens, it's a lot of this is done with the moisture. We've got extreme cloud conditions, and what'll happen is that'll bend or refract. You got to understand, radio waves are electromagnetic propagation, and when it hits something, it does one of two things. It either gets absorbed by it or it bounces off of it. And if otherwise, it would go straight through when there's nothing there. So this bounce or absorption combination of the both is most likely, and I know you don't have to be that far away where normally you would hit the repeater perfectly fine, then we have issues there. So inversion layers will do the same, and it's clear air. So it's that barrier, this ionization barrier of the stuff happening. Mike, you want to add to that? Please come back.
We've heard that on 2 meters and even 6 meters, but yeah, that's really remarkable because it's heavy rain. Snow is another thing, basically the same thing. Only snow seems to attenuate a little bit more than rain does.
Hey, Roger, that does that help you out there, Adam, a little bit?
Actually, it does help set me out a lot. Also, a little side comment that I heard somebody earlier, a gentleman, say that it was kind of odd for us to get a tornado warning down in Orange County. Actually, I think we've had at least one, maybe two this past year. because I remember back in, I think about February, we had a pretty big one, and there was some sightings of tornadoes down in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, roger that. We're used to them being in the Midwest, the Mideast, not our Mideast, the Mideast and Eastern United States. And essentially, it's that cold air, warm air combination. It doesn't matter where it happens. If you've got the cold air coming in and the warm air coming underneath it, that's a tornado. So if that's going to happen, it doesn't matter. It could be at the North Pole if you could get the airflow in that way. It'll happen. So it's unusual for our area. I know the convention center downtown was torn apart by a small tornado years ago. I think it flipped a train over. Was it last year out there in the Inland Empire? Literally flipped the train off the tracks. It was on the news. So, yeah, we've had some severe weather here. It's just not real common. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with this one. So, anyway, anybody else out there for some upcoming New Year suggestions for Tech Tuesday? Come back now. Ah, good. Well, that's okay. We're used to thinking these things up. Well, Mike, WB6CLZ, anything as we're getting well into my second hour's rental of the repeater here, anything to add this evening, or what would you like to say in closing?
Well, we've got 17 listeners out there tonight. That's one of the biggest groups ever, and somebody can't come up with a suggestion for Tech Tuesday for next year. Come on, you're going to make Tom and I work really hard, and Cindy helps too, so suggestions are always welcome, and you know, if you're shy, you can always email Tom at kf6qandarrl.net, or you can email me at wb6clz@arrl.net. There, now I've yelled at everybody. How's that?
Okay, Mike. Well, you know what? There's just so many different things, and they just didn't know which one to pick. That's all it is. Locked in some very good forum, not just the forum software. It's a whole separate subsite for handling forums. If you're not familiar with the forum, basically on the Internet, a lot of groups will have an area that you can post or ask questions. Moderators will answer your questions. That'll be us. And topics that are discussed kind of are on like a logbook there. So if you do a search on it, you say, hey, well, I wonder if they ever talked about this, and it'll pop it up. So that should be kind of a cool feature. It'll be available. All this, of course, is free, and it'll be upcoming in this first part of this next year or so. Anyway, as we're going to be closing here shortly, anybody else out there with any last statements, please come back to KF6Q.
6RJ.
Q, W6AWO.
Okay, we got two people. Harry, you first, and then we had Art right after you. Go ahead, Harry.
Thank you, Tom. Regarding a topic for next year, how about product reviews, especially one that's of great interest, I'm sure, to the newer hams, which was written up in QST. That's the odd-named handheld Voxon, which sells for a whole bunch less than the other Yaesu and other popular models. One is the 2-meter 440 dual bander, and does the, what the 6CR and others do. Anyway, that I thought might be of interest to the new hams. Back to you, Tom, and hello, Art.
Okay, product reviews. I'll write that down there. That's probably a very good thing there. We're going to have to get some outside opinions on that going. Yes, Art, go ahead. W6AWL, KF6Q.
All right, Tom. You know what my favorite subject is, and, you know, we can spend some more time on it, and we can teach more people how to handle emergency communications and what it is that we do and why we do it, how we do it through the year and our different participations. And you never know when something's going to come up here in the wintertime, and we have to get out there and do it again. So it's good to teach and continue to train and continue to use. Tom, thanks for your support and what you're doing out there. And that would be a great thing that I could see coming down. W6AWL, good evening.
Short one.
Okay, Art, I got that down here, emergency communications, and go ahead.
KE6RJ and traffic handling, Tom, if that can be put on your list, that would be nice. Formal traffic handling.
Okay, roger that, Harry. We'll make a note of that right there. Good deal. And for everybody who's still listening in there, one of probably the primary things about radio is we can always see only one person can talk at a time. Right now, that's me. So when we do have emergency communications, and to keep it from going into total chaos, this is what our check-in emergency nets are all about, where you have one net controller. In this circumstance, it would either be myself or Art, probably Art. And what will happen is all traffic goes through the net controller. You ID yourself once you're known to be available. As you're called out. This keeps an order to the chaos because it doesn't take much to cause pure chaos when everybody's trying to talk. So that's the primary function of the nets, and the primary function of a net controller is to have everybody going through them for that purpose. So we mimic that a little bit here on Tech Tuesday just to keep everybody in that same groove. So anyway, one more call for any other questions or comments, and we're going to close her down.
Good comment, Tom. Go ahead and do it. W6AWL, good evening.
All right, Art, appreciate that. And, of course, we keep the radio on here anyway after Tech Tuesday. Always feel free to throw a question out there if you need to. All right. I do appreciate everybody who listened in this evening, everybody who checked in and participated, and all the people that just listened out there, whether you participated or not. Appreciate you being with us this evening and listening in. Please try to get back with us again next week through all the chaos of the holidays. So QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 2017, and returning the repeater to normal use, if there is such a thing. I would like to thank again everyone for listening in and participating, and hope that you can join us again next week. KF6Q will be clear and standing by.